Philippians 2, 19 through 22, talking about Timothy for a second. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also might be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with a father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him to you as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you are mighty and awesome, and that you would guide our time this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Would you tell your husband that he can get a translation set up from Pastor Carlos in the library and understand everything that I'm saying? And as Caleb is doing that, I am going to... Where has Walter gone? Where has... I need Walter. He is my opening intro. There is Walter. All righty. Praise the Lord. You can turn this on for me there, JJ. We're talking about... Okay. Serving. I love that. The heart of a servant. Hey, we're talking about breaking through. It was about 8 months ago. It was a weekday afternoon, right?
Yes.
You came walking in, talking to that mic so they can hear, Pastor Carlos can hear you translating. And you came in, you told me you had some stuff going on in your life. Tell everybody, what was going on in your life 8 months ago when you came on in?
Well, beginning of the year, I started going to the hospital a lot, to the emergency room. And then I was praying that I needed help from God because I was going to the ER almost every other week with anxiety. And I went to see my doctor, and he said that I had anxiety and depression. So I started praying and praying.
Let me interject here. Now, you were not at that point a church guy.
No, I wasn't.
You were just going, I got to get some help from someplace.
Yes.
All right, continue on.
So then I started praying, and I started going to other churches, and I wasn't getting the message, and I was still hitting the hospital in the hospital. And one day, it was Valentine's weekend, I prayed, and I prayed, you know, for God to lead me the way wherever he wanted me to go. And it was a Friday afternoon. My son, he started driving, and we were in San Isidro, and he goes, "Dad, can I drive your car?" I'm like, "Yeah, but you're not going on the freeway. We're going on the streets." So it took us about 2 hours to get to City Heights because I was kind of scared because he has issues too. So I was kind of worried that he was driving. And
so you got anxiety and depression, and you're trying to manage your son for 2 hours driving all the way from you. Challenges come our way, amen?
So we were driving down in City Heights, and he said, "Hey, Dad, does Pastor Bob still in that church?" I'm like, "I don't know." He goes, "Let's go say hi to him." I'm like, "Okay, cool."
And Kevin knows us from
14 years ago.
Okay.
So we came over here. It was a Friday night movie night, and he was connecting some speakers. I was trying to talk to him, but I thought he was ignoring me. So when I said, "Okay, I got to go then," and he said, "Walter, by the way, I'll invite you to church on Sunday." And I said, "Okay."
I wasn't ignoring him. I was just rather focused on getting the movie night ready for you guys. Go ahead.
And then I came that Valentine's weekend Sunday for the first time, and I pretty felt good. You know, it was my first time. So March 1st, I think it was a Sunday, I accepted Christ in my life.
Man, hallelujah.
And then I started coming Wednesday. I was still hurting. I couldn't picture myself in the church, right? And I still went one more time to the ER. It was on a Wednesday after Bible study. I went to the hospital again. So, and I started praying and praying, you know, "Lord, please help me out." I didn't want to take medicine. I didn't want to take depression medicine. I didn't want to take anxiety medicine. I wanted the Lord to help me out. So I started feeling way better, little by little.
Pressing through, breaking through,
yes,
making
I was
changes,
breaking
all that kind of stuff.
Yes, and I started feeling good because I didn't just come to one pastor. I came to four pastors helping me out and a Christian family that I'm really happy for. So not only in this church, I have a lot of friends from different churches. And
You started a Bible study at your work.
Yes, I started a Bible study at work. I'm not doing it, but I have somebody else helping us out. So the first Bible study we started was like four people, and then we went up to 10 people. We do it half an hour every Wednesday morning for lunch.
Amen. Now, we can talk a lot about what's going on. There was a thing that happened with one of your best friends, longtime friends, just recently. You were telling about us last week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, like 2 weeks ago, two Thursdays ago, one of my best friends asked me, she's not here today, but she said, is Velia Christian? I'm like, yes, she's going to retirement. He was kind of
She was going to a
retreat.
Retreat, yeah.
And then one of my nephews said, Walter goes to church too. And he looked at me and he goes, huh? And I said, yes, I became Christian. And he looked at me and he said, first you party, now you're Christian. And it didn't affect me. Actually, I felt good. I think he was holding me for many months. And I thought he knew I was Christian, but he finally heard it from my mouth. And I felt free that day. And I went outside and prayed and thanked God, and I was happy all day. I felt so, like I had a pressure in my chest. And that day, I felt like I was open. I was free. And he doesn't talk to me a lot. But that's okay because my best friend is up there.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Walter. It is a blessing to have you around here. We are talking about breaking through. Paul is talking about breaking through in his life. Walter is talking about breaking through in his life. And as we talk about Philippians, you know, we talk about filling up in the truth of God and finding that fullness of God. And, you know, as I hear from Walter and I read the message of Paul, Philippians, who's written it from prison, you know, I just feel this fullness in life, and I want that, and I want many of you to have that. And, you know, I grabbed this picture this morning. It just shows this cup of milk just overflowing with the fullness of that milk, and I pray that you would have that type of fullness in your life. Paul been serving the Lord for years. In fact, sold out preaching the gospel in jail for preaching. And he said, I want more of this. And many of you have this, are getting this, but some of you don't. And you have to ask yourself, why? What is going on in my life that I am not experiencing that fullness in Christ? And as we take a look at Philippians chapter 3 today, we take a look at some of the barriers, the barriers of pain, the barriers of choices, the barriers of problems in our lives. Two of the biggest are those poor choices and the pain of the past. Sometimes life will just get you off track. Today, I stand up here and I am aware of three people in this church struggling because they have to rebuild the complete transmission in their car. I am aware of another person who motor is blown up in their car. And sometimes life just comes and will try to get you off track. Can I get a witness on that? I got a Volvo sitting in my driveway. It's been sitting there for 6 months. Blown motor. What do you do with that? How do you find fullness when you got drama going on around you? Paul writes this from prison. He's not off track. He's not going, oh my, you know, I'm in prison for preaching and I don't know if this Jesus stuff is really working. No, he's saying, you know what? I am pressing on. I want to break through in my life. I want to find the fullness. I want to get more of Jesus. And I hope you're here this morning and you want to break through. But if you want to break through this morning, it is going to require effort. It is going to require work because you're not just going. This you get with no effort. This takes effort. This gets filled up with the Lord and getting rid of those barriers in your life. So as we take a look at breaking through this morning, I hope that if you are not overflowing with the fullness of Christ, if you need to break through in your life, that the Lord would speak to your heart and would motivate you to do what it takes. Amen. And break through into the fullness of Christ. Amen? Amen? All righty, let's take a look at what we got going on. We're going to move into chapter 3. No more wasted effort, because we're all doing something. Amen? Amen? Paul says, man, what I've been doing is not getting me where I want to go. Have you been there before? Man, what I am doing is just not working out. He says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That is a statement, not from a young Christian like Walter, but from an old Christian like Paul, who's sitting in prison. Man, I want to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness on that? And he is not winding down, but he is winding up. He said, for whose sake I have lost all things. Easy to see. You're sitting in prison right there with nothing going on. He says, In fact, I consider them rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Paul was headed in the wrong direction. And what is crazy, Paul was a Pharisee. His entire life had been focused on God. Learning the Old Testament, memorizing, going to Jewish school when he was a kid. I don't know if they did bar mitzvahs back then, but whatever they did, he was doing. The closest thing that you would have today to a Pharisee is the Mormon Church and the Jehovah's Witness Church, where they line you up and they said, you want to get to heaven? Here's the line. You just work the steps, work the process, and you will end up in heaven. That is what they told Paul. And Paul, when he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus one day, realized that he was on the wrong road. That he said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? How far off can you be from the truth than you are today, Paul? And he was blinded. He said, you're going to go into town, you're going to see a guy, and he's going to tell you what to do. And his life was transformed. Why? Because he was off track, headed in the wrong direction. In fact, the very things he thought were taking him closer to God were taking him further away. What a waste. Maybe you're heading in the wrong direction today. There are things in our lives that can head us, direct us, point us in the wrong direction. One is bad choices. Now, Paul, he just was off track and stayed off track. But I remember going to see Jaws. Who has not seen Jaws? Really? A sheltered life. I saw Jaws in the movie theater, actually in the drive-in, with a family friend introduced me to alcohol for the first time. Poor choice. Many of us make poor choices. And they get us off track, and they get us further off track, and further off track, and further off track. Stinking thinking is a barrier to the fullness that we have available to us in Christ. Amen? I mean, sometimes we just get twisted around, pointed in the wrong direction. And he says, I realize that all my poor choices, all my stinking thinking, all garbage. Paul says, talks about a righteousness. And he was pursuing this righteousness. Never cussed, never cheated, never lied, never sinned. He's a Pharisee. But it was all done for the wrong reason. He says, I was trying to be my own righteousness. He talks about righteousness. He's talking about being holy. And what he's trying to do is say, yo, God, check me out. Look how good I am. You want me up there with you. And that's what the those that are pursuing their own righteousness are looking to get noticed. Hire me, God. And Paul came to an understanding, man, no matter what I do, I will not be good enough. No matter what I have done, it pales in comparison to what Christ has done. And he says, I want to know Jesus. I want to have a righteousness that is a gift from God. I want to transform my life. And it took effort for him to break through. Amen? Amen. Let's keep reading. Verses 10, 11. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. I don't know if that is what you prayed this morning. Lord, help me partner with you in suffering today. Yeah. Not a prayer that we often pray. I want to become like Jesus in his death and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, I want to know Jesus. I want to be found in him. It is talking about entering into the kingdom of God, entering into the family of God. And that entrance comes through not your effort, but your faith. Often your surrender, often what you will give up to find your fullness in Christ. That is what Paul said. Everything behind me I consider garbage. I'm focused on one thing. I want to know Jesus. Amen? He says, when I am close to Jesus is when I am joining with him in his suffering. It will draw you close. He says, I want to know the power of Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection. He's talking about this in a prison cell in Rome. He had been broken out of a prison cell in Philippi by an earthquake. Think that's the power of God? Can I get a witness on that? He had cast out demons in the power of the Holy Ghost. You think that's power? Can I get a witness on that? He had healed the sick. His church wouldn't be empty because everybody had the flu. Bam! Healing right there. He had even brought back this kid who fell off the third story from the dead. Now I'm calling that participating in the power of the resurrection of the Lord. Amen? And he says, I ain't seen nothing yet. I want more. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, that is somebody who is getting full of what Jesus has for them. I'm looking for it. And he says, you know what I have found in my life? When I suffer for Jesus, it draws me close. I want to let you know, there's a focus that comes through suffering. I was, just to illustrate this, I was changing the bearings, front bearing set on Lisa's car. And it's not an old time, it's just, you had to bolt it in and do all this stuff. And my hand started cramping up, you know, and I'm reaching around, I got to do this. You know, and I'm pulling it out. It's all cramped up. You know, it's all looks all crypt up. And it's locked like this, you know. And I got the car up in the air. I got to go. I can't stop, man. And so I put it back in there. Come back out. And I'm suffering, man. And you know what? I am focused on that. Why? Because I am hurting. I was like, man, every twist of that nut, I want it twisting. So I get it off, I put it back on, and I'm good, and the car's still making a noise. So what am I going to do? I'm going to see, it's that new bearing I put in. So what do I got to do? Take it back off. Oh, it's all cramping up again. This is a different day, man. I got to go back into the suffering zone. You know what? I am focused on that bearing set. Put it back on, take mine back off. Noise is still there. I look at that other bearing set. It's loose. It's something else. What do I got to do? I got to put the new one back on. And I'm back in there. Ah, my hand is all crimped up. Focused. Trying to get through. Paul says, you start joining Christ in what he's got going on. Anybody have a challenge this morning in the church? Anybody doing ministry? And find that when you step into ministry, teaching a class, being an usher, doing worship, all of a sudden the devil will just meet you right there. Oh, yeah. It's like the days when you come and you don't got a class. No problem. You got a class? Oh, my. And as you press through and say, Jesus, I am doing this for you, there's a closeness and an intimacy that comes between you and Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about. Can I get a witness on that? Amen, amen. No more wasted effort. All right. God has a place for you in his plan, and we are going to read that. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already... This is Paul. He is writing from prison because he was a preacher. Not that I have already attained what? The power. He says, cast out demons. He's raised people from the dead. You figure if anybody had already attained all this, it would be Paul. Not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. We are picked on purpose. You sit here today. You are picked for a purpose. Walter was called into this church 8 months ago on Valentine's Day night. Did you come back to that movie that night, Walter?
No.
Should have. Well, actually, you're doing pretty good. Came back to church. Every one of you. I mean, look at there. Teacher. Got to be on that worship team, girl. Right now, Lord, I just pray for Sandra, Lord, your healing touch upon her body, Lord. You have called her. The enemy comes against her. Lord, I just lift her up. I see teachers. I see people that are in ministry. I see people that are serving, people that are grabbing onto what Christ has. You are picked on purpose. God has a purpose for your life. Paul says, I have not attained all this. And he says that because he's talking about this classic tension that we got going on, that there are those like the Pharisees and these other people that are in the church. He talks about mutilators of the flesh. And basically there was a group that says you got to be Jewish before you can be Christian, that you can't get to heaven if you're not circumcised. And Paul says, no, that's not where we went. But there's another group who says, hey, I'm done. I met Jesus. Jesus saved me. Jesus sanctified me. And I don't got to do anything more. And Paul says, I'm not made perfect yet. When you get saved, Jesus takes you from the bad pile and puts you on the good pile. Okay? That process is called being sanctified. You are separated unto God. There is a one-time act that Jesus does when you get saved. That's what Walter was talking about. There is also a daily act that the Holy Ghost does as you put the mind of Christ on, as you put a little bit more Jesus on each day and you take a little bit of you off and you get to be more and more and more like Jesus every day. Amen. So there is an act of sanctification and there is a process of sanctification. Paul says, hey, I'm on the road to heaven, but I'm still heading there. I'm still working out all the issues in my life. And if Paul would say that, you know, I got to think, I'm thinking of Paul, I'm thinking of Miss Jean, somebody who has served the Lord for years and years and years and years. He got more to go, I got more to go. We got more to go, amen? Yeah. We're going to find a way through the barriers in our lives. We're going to break through. It will take effort. And I hope you're putting some in, amen? Yeah. Paul says, I consider my life, Acts chapter 20, verse 24. I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me. Jesus has a plan for you too. My job is to make sure you get your spot in God's plan. We got other people around here. We had a board meeting last night. I was so blessed. The department heads. You got George. You got Pastor Carlos in there doing the interpretation today. We've got Natty working the co-op ministry. We've got George working the whole CACFP, the meal program, all that kind of stuff. We've got a whole crew running Christian Ed, Pastor Paul running prayer and doing the Wednesday night stuff. And there's one more. Oh, Roki running the Celebrate Recovery. Lisa running the worship. We have some people. God put a call in your life. He's got some people around you right here that will help you step into that, guide you into that, and trade you for it. Can I get a witness on that? And so your place in the plan, you are picked on purpose. Step into it. It will take effort. Make through the effort, man. Make it happen. Teacher right there. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. Paul is pursuing the prize. Picked on purpose. Pursuing the prize. Amen? Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, I want you to notice the purpose that we spoke of a moment ago was that Jesus took hold of him. He did not take hold of Jesus. Jesus and you have been taken a hold by the Lord for a purpose, and he has chosen you for a prize. We see that the functions of our lives are a result of what God does. Amen? It is our responsibility to follow up on that, to put the effort that takes forth, because there are those that are arrayed against us, like Walter's buddy. What? What? Forget about the past. The past is the past. There are some of us who are consumed with guilt, bitterness, and anger. Your past can reach up and grab you by the ankle and yank you back from the things of God. It will pull you back from the prize. It is like a wall that you just can't get over. I got anger at my father. I got bitterness at my wife. I've got unforgiveness of my buddy who used to bust me down. Your past can be an insurmountable barrier in your life. What is on the other side of that barrier is your prize in heaven. Paul talks about a crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4:8. That there is a reward that we will get, that the people in heaven will be, have people in heaven. I was thinking about this today. Heavonians. Never heard that. Made it up. I'm not getting a resounding. Oh, yeah, that's, I mean, there's a reason we've never heard that word before, Pastor. So Heavonians will be walking around with crowns. And they will be decorated by jewels. And those jewels will happen on the day of judgment. Your works will be judged with fire, and the wood, hay, and stubble burnt away, and the precious gems. They'll be left decorating that crown. Paul says, I am pressing on to the prize in Christ that is sitting for me in heaven. I'm getting to heaven, and there's a prize that is waiting for me. I got to get past the barriers. Amen? I'm getting everything out of the way. I'm letting my past be the past. And my message for you today is that you can get over. You can get over on your life. You can get over on the barriers. You can get over on the issues of your life. And you can find that victory. Deal with the past. You got to own it. You got a problem in the past. You got to own it. I got a problem in the past. My dad abused me. My dad was mad at me. My mom never paid any attention to me. Whatever it is, man, I got bad grades in school. I was a drug addict, man. I went to jobs and I started drinking. Own it. Because as soon as you own it, you can start to process it. And once you process it, you can dig a hole in the ground, throw it in there, and bury it. And it will be out of your life, and you will have the barriers of your life gone. I was a pro at avoiding pain in my life, and many of you come as pros. Walter was a party man, a pro. I'm trying to avoid my pain. Last thing I want to do is admit it. Last thing I want to do is own it. And that pain looks so big you'll never get over it, and you just stuff it in the back of your head. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us, amen? And you can grab onto those barriers, you can own them. I mean, I would gamble, drink, drug, do everything. I did everything. I was a pro at avoiding pain until one day I said, Lord, I'm out of control. Take my life. He came in. Now, I had to work it out. Took me a year just to learn how to have emotions without being loaded all the time. I still struggle with that. Prayer meeting, we had a love corner over there, you know, praying for greater love. I'm there, man. I could use some. What? I spent my whole life trying to avoid emotion. Monday nights, celebrate recovery. Barriers of your life, barriers of the past. Own them, process them, bury them. There's some people that are doing that. Get a shovel on Monday night, bury something, and move on. Amen? Amen? All right, let's go. We doing okay? Tommy's good. We'll have to move you up to the front row, Tommy. Way on the second row. Yeah, okay, it's close enough. All right, headed towards heaven. Headed towards heaven. There, join with others in following my examples, brothers. Take note. That means pay attention. That means be looking. Sometimes be taking, writing things down. Take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you, I said, come on, really? Got to say it a lot? It's a constant problem. As I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. That was a topic they were talking about. I've told you many times, I'm telling you again, there's enemies out there. There are problems on the path. I didn't say, hey, Walter, give your life to the Lord and everything's going to be good. You're just going to cruise. There's going to be no more anxiety, no more issues. You got anxiety. You got issues, right, Walter? But you got some tools to deal with them, put them in your past. Amen? Amen? And the better you get, the more you're putting in the past. And the more you're pressing on and the more you can handle in Christ. Amen? That's why Paul's saying, man, yeah, I raised this guy from the dead, but I want to know the real power. There is some more coming my way. For as I've often told you now before, enemies of Christ, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is their shame, their mind is on earthly things. He says, not everybody's on the same page. Take a look and find the people that are. This world is out of control. We had a picture of the lack of control of this world on Friday night in Paris. Pictures. Death and destruction and mayhem and enemies of the cross. ISIS in Syria and Iraq, beheading Christians, crucifying Christians, raping and pillaging. Enemies of the cross. We got it around us. Had it back then. Paul is in prison for preaching. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. Why? Because people were coming to church. Why? Because they were being arrested and all their property taken. Oh, I'm not going to Sunday school today because they might take my house. Paul says, get to church. You want to break through the barriers? What? It's going to take some effort. Amen. You want to come to know Christ? It's going to tie you in when you suffer. We're just worried about your place. Get you away from the Lord. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. You seen that? I have a picture of a man holding up. I saw it a year ago on the internet, holding up a little baby girl in a nice, pretty dress with no head. A shameful. He goes, pay attention to who's breaking through. Because they can show you how. There's fakers out there. You know who's faking. Find out who's on track with God. Hang with them. Watch out for the enemies of the cross. You know, the enemies of the cross, they need the Lord. Last night we prayed for the terrorists and the jihadists, that the Lord would break through in their hearts. And they need the Lord. But, realistically, you're going to have to make a choice like Walter did. Because you can't have an enemy of the cross being your best buddy. If the enemy of the cross is your best buddy, you got to wonder about your values. What is prized? What are you running after? Paul says you can do it. You can break through. You can be one who follows that pattern of the life of God. You wonder, what would be in that pattern? Prayer. Not just on one Wednesday night a month, but on a one Wednesday night a month, that ought to be a focus. Getting in the Word. My house, we read the Word every morning. Friday mornings, we pray. What do you do in your house? Is there a pattern that you have? Do you know somebody who has a pattern? Follow that pattern. Because there were some in Philippi that were doing it. Are you doing it? Because see, you're going to break through barriers. Going to take effort. Going to take time. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Here we go. We have an entirely different direction. I feel bad. Not yet, but I will in a moment. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, glory, hallelujah, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is an identification card, kingdom of heaven right there. You know what that lady is? Tell me. She's a Hebonian. Like a lead brick. All right. I promise you one thing. After today, I will never again say Hebonian. All right. But you, there you go. You can see other Hebonians around you, people that are headed that way. That you could have an ID card. It says Kingdom of Heaven right here. Why? I got the pattern of God in my life. You can see it. So your life is on display. My life was a display of a lost life. Walter's life was a display of a lost life. And you can tell when the lost are found, amen? You can tell when there is light that is shining. You can tell when you got salt on your meat. You can tell. And you can tell when it's not there either, amen?
Amen.
Our citizenship is in heaven, man. Our boss is there, man. Our boss is not here. You know, the guys that are running for president, all that kind of stuff. Go, man. Control ain't coming from you guys. Our control is coming from heaven. We got power from on high, and Jesus is coming. And he's going to take me. Amen?
Amen?
Paul says we got a brand new future in store. New bodies. Hallelujah. I mean, I look at Joe, Josh, Matt, all them young men over there, maybe even Roki, Taylor, JJ, maybe. 5 3-pointers the other day in the basketball tournament. I look at me, man. I woke up at 2:30 last night. I was hypoglycemic. My sugar was crashing. Ah. I'm ready for a new body. Amen?
Yes.
Glory. I was at a funeral, and the pastor was saying, yeah, man, we'll get to heaven. Everybody, I'm going to have hair. I think everybody might be bald, but it's going to be good. Can I get a witness? So we're just getting ready. Roki's way ahead. Yeah. I'm trying to get back from the Hebonians thing. Get to heaven, man. No more crying. No more dying. No more pain.
Amen.
Are you getting there? You know, I think Lisa's helping with a class. Roki, would you get her? Thank you. Breaking through. Are you? Are you breaking through or out of control? Are you out of control? Walter spoke, he was out of control. I spoke, I was out of control. And maybe as you heard my story or Walter's story, you can say, I can relate. I can get a piece of that. Or maybe you heard Walter's story and my story and said, psh, that's nothing, man. I am so out of control, I dwarf your out of controlness. You can break through right now. You can surrender just like I did, just like Roki or like Walter did. Breakthrough. It'll take effort. Take complete surrender, that takes effort. And then you gotta learn how to live. So is that your focus or are you just a flake? Some of us, man, we make such messed up choices. We are our own worst enemy. Take some effort. Break out of that mold. I was my own worst enemy. Make a poor choice and then grab onto it, thinking that I could turn it around, make it right. Just gets worse and worse and worse. I don't know where you're at today. I know where some of you are at. Need to break through. Say, Lord, I'm so messed up. I made poor choices. Everything I thought was so good in my life, I see right now, it's just garbage. And what's more, the garbage of my life is keeping me from you, Lord. I'm so messed up. Well, you don't got to stay messed up. Paul wrote to the Philippians, God spoke to my heart. God spoke to Walter's heart. And perhaps God is speaking to your heart this morning saying, you're so messed up. But I love you so much, I will heal you. It'll take work. It'll take effort. But you don't got to live a messed up life. And what is more, I got a brand new body for you. I got a brand new future for you in heaven. That you would spend eternity with me and I will be the light of your life. But you got to step into it. You got to want it. And it will take all you got and then effort to keep going. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you called me out of the garbage pile and took Walter out of the garbage pile and so many out of the garbage pile. And I thank you, Lord, that you got a new body for me and so many of us, Lord, that you got me on the winning path and the right track. Glory to you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are right here in this place and that you have a message for those that are struggling, that are making poor choices. I can't figure it out, Lord. But right now, Lord, for those that come in here just lost, need to be found with nobody looking around. Not talking for if you've asked Christ to come into your life, I'll talk to you in just a minute. But you come in here this morning and the Lord is saying, you are lost, you are in danger, you need to be transformed and saved in your life. Look at that devil coming in and cracking up my microphone right now. Just ignore that. Because the Lord is speaking to your heart right now. Cut right through. Cut right through every distraction. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Right now, the Lord is speaking to your heart saying, you are lost. I will save you. I will take you to heaven with me. I will transform you. I will give you the power. You can experience the power of the resurrection. You've got to surrender your life. Follow me the rest of your life. Nobody looking around, but the Lord is speaking right to your heart. You're saying, Lord, that is me this morning. I want to know you and your power. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me this morning. Right here. Somebody else say, that is me. That is me right there. Glory. Hallelujah. Anybody else say, that's me this morning. I want to know the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I was in church. Didn't know everything. Pastor said, I'm going to pause one more moment. Lord is speaking right to your heart right now. You're saying, oh. Say, Lord, you got me. I am yours. I surrender. You can put your hand up before. Lord, just on you like a coat. Anybody else? Anybody else? Lord Jesus, I pray. Right there? Yeah? Yeah. Lord, for these four, Lord. For these four, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your death on the cross, Lord, sets us free. Guides and directs us, Lord, right on a pathway to heaven, Lord. There'll be streets of gold. You got new bodies, Lord. That gold won't even look that good compared to us. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, that you will be there. You'll be the light. We will live and abide with you in Jesus' name. Continue to pray. Maybe you are here and you know the Lord. You've done that, but your pattern is wrong. Your pattern is off. You've not put the past behind. Maybe you got some problems, some barriers, some pain, and you got to own it. You got to own that pain so that you can process it and then bury it. You know what I'm talking about. You got something you've been dancing around, avoiding, and this morning the Lord is saying, it is time to move on, child. It is time to process that and bury it. Before you do that, you got to know that you got a problem. You got to know that you got a problem that needs to be healed. And you got to tell me, you got to say, Lord, I got a big problem. I'll let you know it's no surprise to him. He knows what you've got. And in fact, you got more than what you think you've got, but you got to start with something. And this morning, the Lord is on you. You're saying, I want to move ahead. I want to climb that wall. I'm going to own my stuff. There is this thing. Anger, bitterness, whatever that cause, that root cause, you're going to own it. You're going to take some steps. It might be celebrate recovery. It might be confession. It might be something. You might need to get help with some of those people I talked about before. But this morning, you're saying, I'm going to own it. I'm going to own it so I can move beyond it. Nobody looking around. The Lord speaking right now to you. Say, I got something I got to get rid of in my life. Slide your hand up. See, that's me this morning right here. Somebody else say, that's me. That's me. I got something right over here. Somebody else right back there. Amen. Amen. Somebody else say, that's me. That's me. I got to own something. I got to grab onto it. I got to kill it, process it, and put it in the ground and bury it. Anybody else? Four people put their hands up. Anybody else? That's me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that we're not sick today.